Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think a difficult thing for new Christian converts to understand is that Christianity involves taking up your crosses. I'm not talking about the crosses that we may see in church, or the crosses that a person may wear, or the crosses that a person may have on a wall in his home, but instead I'm talking about the crosses that Jesus speaks of, which are the times, the difficult times that a Christian will face because of his faith. When Jesus invites people to follow him, he does not tell them that following him means that their life is now going to be an easy life. He does not say living a Christian life is simple. He does not even say that we will have peace with the world, even though Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Instead, Jesus declared two chapters earlier in the Gospel of Luke, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." When we are baptized into God's family, Satan points his fiery darts at us. We, as baptized children of God, become Satan's target, his prey, because he's not pleased that we are rescued from Satan's domain and are now children of God and members of God's kingdom. Today, it is sheer joy for us Christians to add August into God's family through baptism. He is granted the forgiveness of sins. He is rescued from death and the devil and given eternal salvation. When thinking about these readings and like the hymn that we just sang, I began to think, is this the most fitting day during Lent to have a baptism? It sure seems to be, because Jesus drove out a demon. And we say, "Depart, you unclean spirit," and make room for the Holy Spirit in holy baptism. And as August is added to God's family in baptism, he is also joined to the death of Christ. He dies to sin, and he's raised with the resurrection of Christ to walk in the newness of life. So hearing the benefits of what baptism gives, we say that baptism is good. And this is what we want for our loved ones, for all people. But yet Jesus says of the baptized, "Take up your cross." And the devil has lost one of his own. So the devil goes on the attack. You see, as God establishes churches to preach the pure word of God, the devil is trying to establish nearby a chapel to lead people into lies. When God's word is proclaimed, the devil is trying to whisper lies into your ears and into your hearts so that you would doubt the truth of God's word. And when God grants you his peace, so that you are reconciled with your Father in heaven, the devil is trying to work havoc in your everyday life. Many people prefer religious systems that guarantee an easy life. They want a religion that involves all sorts of blessings with no sacrifice. They want the perceived conveniences of a religion without having to do much or even believe in much. And that's why there are those false Christs, those false teachers who come in the name of God and promise their hearers nothing but sweet things. They'll lie, making the promise that if you believe enough, you won't have those crosses, but you'll have good times. You'll experience good health, plenty of wealth and happiness. You see, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to think that Christianity is all about these temporal things. It's all about living the so-called good life, having everything handed to us with ease, silver platter, making sure everything is just good and wonderful for us. And that way we don't think we need a Savior. Makes it easy to forget about Christ as the devil wants us to do, and to think little of the forgiveness of sins or the gift of eternal life. So the devil tempts us, just live for today. And when life gets tough, the devil wants us to believe that God is not listening, that God must not care, or God doesn't love us. That is how Satan is busy throwing his fiery darts at us, trying to destroy the faith that God has worked in us in our baptism and sustained through the word that you hear preached, the word that you read in the scriptures, the word that you receive through the sacrament. And we are tempted to believe that we can somehow have it both ways, a foot in the world and a foot in Christ's kingdom, his church, with most of the weight resting on the foot in the world. We think it is somehow better to delight in the ways of the world than in the ways of God. We pretend that we can still be a Christian while giving little thought to the word that gives us eternal life. We mislead ourselves into believing that following Christ simply involves head knowledge, knowing the right things. Oh, I know that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. And by reducing it to mere head knowledge, it's no longer a matter of the heart. We put the sign of the cross not just on the head, the forehead, but on the heart, to redeem, to mark as redeemed by Christ the crucified, those who are baptized. Jesus calls on us to repent and to deny ourselves. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. The access that we have to God, our Heavenly Father, is only found through our Savior Jesus. Today's gospel reveals some of the devil's power. Yes, demons can possess people. We don't see it happening much in modern America. Seems like it happens more frequently in third world countries. The reason why it doesn't happen so much in our world, in our day, is because the devil knows very well other ways to corrupt us. He knows very well how easily that we are swayed by wealth and mammon. And so he can tear us away from our Savior through that. He also knows how easily we can be succumbed into addiction to food, drugs, sex, or alcohol. These modern demons are no less powerful than the one which afflicted the mute man in today's gospel. The devil is attempting to use these modern demons to corrupt us and to tear us away from our Lord and from his gifts. But Jesus identifies something that is more powerful and more beneficial and more life-giving than anything else in the world, whether they're the temptations we face, the modern demons, or the demons themselves, or Satan himself. What is more powerful? The Word of God. for God is at work through it. The word, as it is written, is sharper than any two-edged sword. In fact, a single word from God is more powerful than Satan and his legions. And so, when those simple and short words were spoken upon August in his baptism, August, David, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All that stuff that came before it and after it, while good and beneficial, was not the actual baptism. But those simple words, which don't seem to say a whole lot other than naming God, are powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Almighty God is at work and joined August to the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgave him of his sin, rescued him from death and the devil, and grants him eternal salvation, turns his heart of stone into a heart of flesh of living faith, all worked by God in those simple words. After Jesus drove out the mute man's demon and preached to the people, a woman exclaimed, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." She's basically saying she's jealous of our Lord's mother. After all, Mary did have the easy child to raise, one who never talked back, one who always did what he was told the first time, one who did everything right, one who grew up to be a great teacher, one who would obviously make any parent proud. But how does Jesus reply? "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." What Jesus is saying is this: blessed are you. Blessed are you for hearing the words of eternal life, for being here in God's presence to receive his gifts. Blessed are you, because there's nothing better than for you to hear God's life-saving and life-giving word. There's nothing greater than you can have, and there's nothing more powerful at work in this world than this word. In his preface to the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote, "Certainly you will not release a stronger incense or other repellent against the devil than to be engaged by God's commandments and words, and speak, sing, or think them. For this is indeed the true holy water and holy sign from which the devil runs and by which he may be driven away. Now, for this reason, you alone ought to gladly read, speak, think, and use these things, even if you had no other profit and fruit from them than driving away the devil and evil thoughts by doing so. For the devil cannot hear or endure God's word. As St. Paul says in Romans 1, it is the power of God. Yes, indeed, it is the power of God that gives the devil burning pain and strengthens, comforts, and helps us beyond measure." It is a blessing, my dear friends, that you have been given his word. It is a blessing that you can hear this word in complete freedom. It is a blessing that God has established the church and the ministry so that you may, on an ongoing basis, hear his life-giving and life-saving word. For as we have heard, the word is the power of God. Just as Jesus' word drove out the demons, so also God's word is the means by which God takes your sin away. When you hear that word of God that your sins are forgiven, you are truly forgiven. When you hear that word of God at the beginning of the divine service, as you did today, that you are beloved in the Lord, you are truly beloved in the Lord. When God's word declares you to be a child of God through your baptism, you are truly God's own child. Therefore, blessed are you when you hear this word and when you keep it. Blessed are you because you are baptized into Christ. Blessed are you when Christ abides in you and you in him. Blessed are you when heaven awaits you, and blessed are you when you are at peace with God. Yet as we bask in these blessings of God, we still face challenges and crosses in this life. When the woman had shouted out that Mary is blessed for bearing Jesus, she did not consider those crosses that Mary carried for being our Lord's mother. When a child is gifted, other parents may become jealous and may treat those parents poorly. Now imagine what it was like for Mary, who is the mother of the perfect child. What type of mumbling and groaning people would have made because her boy was the sinless Son of God. Also consider what Mary would further endure as she was a witness to the things that would happen to Jesus, as she saw her son beaten, carry the cross to Golgotha, watching him be nailed to that cross and dying on a tree. It is painful for parents to lose a child. She also bore that cross, watching her innocent son being sentenced to death on the cross. She bore her crosses for bearing the Messiah. We too carry our crosses for hearing the word of God and keeping it. The world will mock and jeer at us, dismissing us as a bunch of misled lunatics. The world will mock us for our piety and devotion to the Lord. The Lord will mock us as we sacrificially give of our time and talents and treasures to the Lord. The world will make fun of us as we believe these life-giving words of eternal life. And Satan, of course, will always be on the attack. The world and our own flesh will keep on tempting us. And so we bear our crosses and we follow him. He is our good shepherd who leads us through this valley of the shadow of death, ultimately to the green pastures of paradise, the still waters of heaven. Jesus is our Savior who goes to the cross so that we would be delivered. He guides and keeps us. And you are blessed because Jesus has been merciful to you. If he can cast out demons, Jesus can certainly cast your sins away from you. He does not cast you away from his presence, but he creates in you a clean heart and upholds you with his Holy Spirit. He does this through the proclamation of his word, which delivers to you what Christ earned and won for you. That is, Jesus earned and won for you the salvation of your body and your soul. He made the perfect payment for all your sin. He bled and died in your place so that you can be set free. And you are set free so that you are forgiven, that you are cleared of all your iniquities. And in fact, God remembers your sins no more. You are set free from death and that you have now eternal life through Christ our Lord. And just as he has overcome death in the grave and our Lord Jesus Christ lives, so shall you also live. Death has no power over you. Satan, you are no longer enslaved to Satan, but instead you are forgiven, you belong to God, and eternal life abides in you. When Christ Jesus returns, he will raise all the dead and give to all who abide in Christ the gift of eternal life. What great blessings we have. Blessed are you for hearing the word of God. Blessed are you for being credited with keeping this word through faith in Christ. Blessed are you because our Lord cares for you and that nothing can separate you from his love. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.